One thing I've learned after all these years, you're gonna save yourself a whole lot of tears. Don't try to figure out who was wrong and who was right. Got to move along, baby. Let's ride. You got to roll with the punches. Yeah, you got to go with the flow.
Yeah, you got to roll with the punches. Hi, everybody. Your old friend Mike Houlihan. Welcome back to Hibernian Radio. Another gorgeous night here on the river at Lizzie McNeil's. We're brought to you by Mike Haggerty, Buick GMC Volkswagen, McCann's Irish Oatmeal, and our old friend, personal injury attorney, Carol Ann Gallagher from Aaron Moore Island. So, we're back on the show. Last week we had a change of location, but we're back at our favorite spot here at Lizzie McNeil's, and we have a very interesting guest, a young police officer. As most of you know, the show is focusing on Irish first responders because we feel they're the equivalent of the modern-day Irish mythological warriors, and we want to honor them and make sure that they get their due. And tonight we have Colin Ryan with us. Colin, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you for having me.
His dad is a good friend, and he's been on the show a couple of times. His dad is now retired. Now, let's go back. Where'd you grow up?
Grew up in the Beverly neighborhood, St. Barnabas Parish.
My old hood.
Specifically.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
St. Barnabas, yeah. And then you went where, to Marist?
Yeah, so I went to St. Barnabas, graduated from there in 2007. Spent 4 years at Marist, graduated there in 2011.
And then what?
Went off to college.
Okay.
Now I have a ton of student loan debt, but did get the degree finally.
Where'd you go?
Illinois State University.
Oh, sure, in Normal.
Yeah. Tropical Twin Cities of Bloomington Normal.
That's right. Now, so your dad was a police officer. Do you have brothers and sisters?
I have two younger sisters.
Okay. Did he encourage or discourage police work?
Neither, really.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Neither, really. Yeah. I think he just kind of saw, growing up, like, my interest in what he did. And then, of course, the glorification of police work on TV and movies, which is not at all accurate, but when you're young and impressionable. So they didn't, my dad didn't really steer me one way or the other. He just kind of wanted to let me make my own decision and was going to support me whether I got into law enforcement or anything else.
How long have you been a cop?
5 years.
Just 5 years. You're a young man, 27. Now you have a story to tell. When did that happen?
May 2nd, 2017.
Oh, just about 2 years ago. Yeah.
Yeah, a little over.
Okay, so you were doing some surveillance.
Correct.
Tell us the story. Take us back.
Yeah, so at the time I was assigned to the 9th District.
Where's that?
The 9th District, the old station's at 35th and Lowe. The new one is at 31st and Halstead. So that district is Bridgeport.
Oh, it's huge. Yeah.
Yeah, Bridgeport, Canaryville, Gage Park, back of the yards, parts of Inglewood.
35th and Lowe is Mayor Daley's house.
Yeah.
The old Mayor Daley, yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah, he was right down the police station was at the corner.
Yeah.
I think it's a firehouse now.
Okay.
Part of it. Anyway, there had been a shooting earlier in a nearby district, really just across the border.
Can you say where it was if you can?
Yeah, it was on Halstead, probably like in the teens on Halstead, which was not the 9th District. The victims of the shooting drove south on Halstead, got into the 9th District, then called the police.
Oh.
We got a call from the 12th District guys saying, hey, your victims were also offenders because there's two different kinds of shell casings here.
So
they were shooting back.
Yeah.
We of course searched the victim's vehicle and all their persons and everything.
Now, were you on a TAC team or what?
Yeah, I was on a plainclothes TAC team.
Okay.
So we were over there. You didn't find anything, so we figured, all right, well, they either did one of two things. They either dropped off a guy with a gun or they dropped off the gun somewhere and then called the police. So they're eventually going to have to go back and get either their buddy or their gun because they don't want it getting taken. So me and a guy I was working with, we took...
What was his name?
Leo Ogle.
Okay.
We went back to the station, checked out you know, the surveillance van that we had.
Yeah.
Located over in that area, set up.
You guys immediately just went over there and said, let's start checking it out?
Yeah. Probably within, like, 45 minutes to an hour.
Wow.
We had to wait to see, okay, they did actually shoot back. There might be something here that we could, you know, do. Because we knew there was going to be retaliation within the next, you know, a couple hours to days.
Right.
So
if
we could prevent it, that would be ideal. So we set up a point of surveillance.
Just two guys.
Yeah, just the two of us. We let the detectives do their thing. Eventually, the victim of the shooting was taken to the hospital. The other vehicle occupants were then released.
Right.
We started following back into the back of the Yards neighborhood. After a little bit of surveillance, we determined that they were not going to go pick anybody up. They're just driving home or, you know, where at least back in the neighborhood, and we didn't feel comfortable as a team taking a van into the neighborhood with them that close behind.
Yeah.
Because after a while, you know, we'd be the only other car on the block.
Yeah, they'd spot you.
Yeah. So we're like, you know what? You know, we'll get them another day.
Yeah.
So we decide we're going to drive back to the station and eat, actually. As we're driving back, we're taking Ashland back north to get back to the station. We're driving.
Were you driving or sitting in shotgun?
I was driving.
Okay.
Noticed the car and noticed who they were.
Now, this is just a nondescript van, basically. Is that what it is?
Yeah, just a windowless van, really.
Yeah, okay.
And as I'm driving, I noticed, you know, the car next to me has these guys in it who I recognize as gang members. I tell Leo, who I'm working with, like, hey, you know, I don't know if they know we're the police. I don't know what's going on, but they're on to us at the very least. So I decide, all right, well, I'll cut through the old Stockyards just to kind of, you know, lose them in traffic. They'll keep having to go south. They won't be able to make the turn with us. You know, we'll be fine. There was another car behind us the entire time that we never saw because, like I said, windowless van.
Yeah.
They opened up the rear door of their minivan and started opening fire on us.
With rifles, right?
Yeah, .223 caliber rifle.
Holy cow. And they just started firing at the van, or they're trying to hit where you guys were?
Yeah,
they were out to kill you.
Basically. Yeah, no question.
Yeah.
I think 27 or so odd rounds hit the van.
Wow.
Yeah, one of the first couple hit the gas tank, and actually, as I was thinking, we were like flying down 43rd Street. We were not.
Oh.
We were actually losing, spilling gas the whole, you know, 30 feet or however far we made it.
Oh, wow.
Did
you guys get hit?
Leo had a bunch of shrapnel pretty much all through up his back. I was hit four times, twice in my left arm, once in the hip, and then once in my back.
Wow.
And then they started, like, turning around to come back, and we started shooting back at them, and they eventually took off.
Were you guys, what kind of firepower did you guys have?
Two pistols.
Oh, okay.
I think I had a 9, and I think Leo had, like, a 40, maybe.
Yeah.
Not a .223, put it that way.
So you're outnumbered, and they got more firepower, and you're like, uh-oh, we got to make a stand, basically. Yeah,
kind of do or die here.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And where was that? What was that on the corner of your...
43rd and Ashland.
No kidding.
Just east of Ashland.
Hey, east of Ashland.
Yeah.
The old show. Wow, that's scary.
It was not a fun day at work.
And just the two of you, and you guys are calling for help, or how'd you do that?
Yeah, as soon as we started firing back, they drove away. And then we couldn't see them anymore, so then Leo got on the air and started calling for help as I was trying to stop the car to get out of it and reassess.
Yeah.
Thinking like, all right, well, are they going to turn back? Is somebody else going to show up? So, I mean, help, thankfully, was, you know, around the corner.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. Makes a big difference.
And so how long were you in the hospital? Would you have to go to the hospital and everything?
Yeah. So some of my teammates who were, you know, not far at all came. They got a tourniquet on my arm. Ambulance took me to the hospital. I only spent the night there. I left, you know, the next, like, early afternoon.
Yeah.
And then off work for, About 6 months.
Yeah.
Give or take a little bit.
Yeah. And you're back. God bless you.
Yeah, I went back, that'd been in like October, November of 17. So I've been back since.
You got a pair of balls, man. You know that? I say that on the air. Unbelievable. And so are you still working in that district?
No, I was in that district for a bit longer. Now I'm in a gangs unit.
Mm. So you're still a TAC officer or whatever that. What do you call that?
Yeah, I mean, plain clothes.
Yeah.
It's just the nature of my work has changed.
Yeah.
Not on the street of doing as much running and gunning, doing more building up long-term investigations, doing more investigative work rather than just trying to, grab somebody you see on the street for, whatever the case may be.
So a lot of the cops you work with, are they in your age range or are they mostly older? What's the demographics of the police department these days?
It varies. Like the unit I'm in now, I'm definitely, like, God, I think I got to be the youngest, if not maybe like the second or third youngest.
Yeah.
At the district level, it's changing quite a bit, and it was changing even before I left the district because a lot of guys were either leaving via retirement, promotion, or going to other units, so all the districts are getting way younger with way, I say younger as in like less time on than me.
Yeah.
They could be, much older than me, but it's definitely a getting to be younger on the job now.
Now, when you first came on, your dad was a big shot. Did you take a lot of heat for that? Was that rough? He was the deputy superintendent, right?
I first got on, he was a commander of an outside unit.
Okay.
And then he made, after, 18 months or so, then he got promoted to deputy chief.
Yeah.
So I think at first, everybody kind of figured out who I was via, my dad.
Yeah.
And a lot of times people just kind of like wait and see, like, all right, well, this is like a boss's kid. Is he going to be, is he going to be high maintenance? Is he going to be, a regular guy? And a few people would like take a few jabs, but nothing like personal, like, oh, your dad denied my day off.
Oh, yeah.
10 years ago.
Oh, there was none of that. Yeah.
Yeah, no, nothing serious like that. Most everybody has had good things to say about him.
Oh, good. Yeah. Well, he's a good guy. God bless him. Yeah. Now, you remember the Emerald Society?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, good. I am, too, since I started doing this show. Well, that's a great group of guys, all Irish police officers. Now, so you've been on the job, 7 years?
Five.
5 years? There was a tough time to become a policeman. You know that? I mean, first of all, I think you'll have a lot of courage just to do that. But these are tough times for cops, with the media, the culture. It's very anti-police.
Yeah, it is.
And one of the things I wanted to bring up, an off-duty police officer committed suicide just last night, I think it was. Officer Paul Escamilla, 40.
Yeah, either last night or the night before.
Yeah, that breaks your heart. He had three little kids. And,
mm-hmm.
and evidently, he was like the life of the party, just a terrific guy, and a great sense of humor and everything. But Chicago has one of the highest rates of officer suicide in the country. Escamilla is the fourth CPD suicide in 2019. There were five suicides in 2018. Nationwide, police suicides are also on the rise. How do you feel about that as a guy coming on the force? It's got to be tough.
Yeah, I mean, if, somebody who's considering getting on and hearing that, I could definitely see them being like, oh, well, why would I want to get into a job where these guys are, killing themselves at a pretty prolific rate?
Yeah.
But yeah, and being on it, and, I've known policemen that have committed suicide, and then I hear about these other guys and girls, and yeah, it's obviously very, very hard to hear, and it's a big problem. Not in Chicago specifically, but nationwide for the police.
Yeah. I put that on the media. and the culture. And that's one of the reasons this show exists, is because of that. We're trying to say, hey, wait a minute. These are our Irish mythological warriors, man. Don't mess with them.
Yeah, I think that has something to do with it. And I think, I think now specifically in Chicago, they're doing a lot more to support us and show, like, oh, okay, like, this is becoming a problem. Like, you know, we're humans. Everybody's got their own real life problems, you know, sick family members,
sure,
sick kids, whatever, the money issues, whatever the case is. And then you add this.
Are you
job.
Married? Yes.
I am.
You have
married.
A family?
No kids yet.
Okay.
We'll be married 2 years the 31st of December. We got married New Year's Eve.
Oh, good for you. Is she from the neighborhood?
No, she is not. She is from Michigan.
Oh.
Met in school.
Oh, that's good. Okay. Yeah. And she's a pretty gal. I saw her picture in the picture you sent.
She is, yeah.
Well, that's got to be tough. A young guy coming on the job, and then you see people like, well, Lori Lightfoot and people like that dissing the cops. You don't have to comment on this. So I don't want to get you in trouble, but Kim Fox is letting everybody out of jail. Actually, Dave Chappelle called him the French actor Juicy Smollett. That incident, or supposed incident, happened like right over there in that corner.
Yeah, right around the corner.
And that's part of it too, that kind of junk that's going on. So I feel for you having to deal with that. I'm sure you guys talk about it among yourselves and everything.
Yeah, like you said, it's definitely a challenging time to be the police in America. It's, there are a lot of people that do support us.
Yes,
it's
absolutely.
Just they're, they're not as loud as the ones that don't.
Yeah.
And nothing against the people that do support us. They don't, they're doing everything they can. They tell us on the street, like, hey, you guys are doing a great job. I really appreciate what
you're doing. Blue Lives Matter.
Be anywhere, and some random person will just come up and be like, oh, you guys are doing a great job. Like, let me buy you a bottle of water if it's real hot. Just anything like that. So those things do get noticed.
Okay.
Unfortunately, they're just drowned out by the people who do not like the police and law enforcement today.
The whole thing in New York with de Blasio as their mayor, first of all, but where they're throwing buckets of water at the cops and stuff. Oh, that's terrible. The thing I was thinking about, this officer, Paul Escamilla, 40 years old. Mm-hmm. Now, and he was a cop for 17 years, so you think of all, police do so much good, but you think of all the good he could have done. He probably was going to be a cop for another 15, 20 years. That's not going to happen now because he's not here. We need police. And it's a tougher job now than it's ever been, I venture to say.
Yeah, I mean, I can't speak for anything, before my 5 years, but yeah, it's definitely challenging.
Yeah. Tell me about it. What's your typical day like? Or is there a typical day?
Yeah, that's kind of not so much a thing, a typical day, but, obviously we start with roll call and, make sure everybody's there first.
Do you still work with a partner, or is it?
Yeah, pretty typically. Occasionally, like if we're doing, if we're doing some investigative stuff, you might be on your own.
Oh, really?
For that day, doing whatever, maybe out in the field, maybe in the office looking stuff up. But yeah, if you're gonna be out in the street, like you have a partner, and whether you're a beat car that has to respond to different jobs, or you're just like an outside unit that's there to assist, you just go to everything. I mean, you see people. I mean, depending on the neighborhood, obviously, but you see people shot all the time, people stabbed, people beat up via different domestic issues.
Oh yeah,
the rampant drug use. It's pretty. Pretty incredible when people like hear about stuff like that, or if they ever get to see it, it's like, oh wow, like this is a real problem.
When you guys got out of the hospital, did the cops have any kind of a thing for officers who've been shot, or
Like a program type of thing?
Yeah, like a psychological thing or anything. I mean,
yeah, we have the, you know, employee assistance program, the EAP.
Oh yeah, EAP, yeah.
And you know, they let, if especially if you've been hospitalized, like the last thing you want to do is go run around doing work, things for work, like, you know, you've, like in our case, we were nearly killed, like,
yeah,
not really itching to get back in and do paperwork and
yeah,
you know, talk with you know, doctors and everything. I just want to be at home, eat, drink, and sleep. Like,
yeah,
that was it. But yeah, they, the EAP, they make you, you know, within a reasonable amount of time, go in and speak with a clinician there. You could do it, you know, with a partner, a spouse, family member, by yourself, and they do, you do it a couple times, and you got to keep doing it as long as you're off.
Yeah.
And then they also have to, they have, you know, an input on whether or not they think you should go back. Like, if you try to go back too early, they may tell you, like, all right, let's
slow down.
Let's pump the brakes on that a little bit.
Do you know Pat Johnson by any chance? He lives in Mount Greenwood. He got shot.
I do know Pat.
Good guy.
Very good guy.
Been on the show a couple of times. He's a, also a writer and a good friend of ours. But
Pat's a real nice guy.
He is a good guy.
Yeah, he reached out to me after.
Did he really?
He did.
I can see him doing that.
He, at the time, he was... The sergeant that he was working for was an old sergeant of mine from the 9th District, so he gave him my number, and
yeah,
after a couple of weeks, he gave me a call and just said, hey, if you ever need anything, and we met up, and, you know, have talked from time to time about different things, and, you know, my wife talked to his wife.
Oh,
and
that's just great, yeah.
You know, they don't really have a manual on what to do after.
And you're both in, are you guys both in St. Christina?
Yes.
Oh, okay. So he's in the same parish.
Yeah. Yeah.
A lot of cops in St. Christina.
Yeah.
Bad place to try and pull off a crime.
Yeah, it never goes well.
Well, you would you do us a favor? Will you come back like every 6 months and tell us how it's going? And because you're the youngest cop we've ever had on the show.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And we've had a lot of cops. But it's interesting to get your perspective. And you've already been through a major battle, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't wish it upon anyone, and
yeah,
you know, obviously you never think that'll
now what was
to
you. The time frame on that? They're shooting at you guys and you're like, we're sitting ducks,
right?
They got rifles, we got pistols, and they got heavy firepower.
The whole incident from the first round that was fired to the last one, I mean, it felt like an hour and a half.
Yeah.
Of course, it wasn't. It was, God, maybe 25 seconds. Like,
yeah.
That quick.
Now, there were a couple of detectives that found these guys, right? Tracked them down and had them arrested?
Yes.
Who are they? Do you want to give them a salute? What are their names? Do you remember?
Yeah, Halloran and O'Brien.
Oh, of course. All right, Halloran and O'Brien.
And they were... what, I think 2 weeks from retirement when
no kidding.
My case got put on their desk.
Yeah.
And, man, they worked.
And they solved it.
Like 2 weeks left. They got it done, and I walked off into retirement, and good for them.
So they got the guys who did it, and none of these guys get tried and sentenced, or what happened?
Well, one is in custody, one is not. The one that is in custody, there hasn't been a trial yet.
Okay.
No bond or anything, so he's still
no bond.
Yeah.
Oh, still he's still in custody. That's
he's
good.
He's still in custody, okay. Right? When the trial will start, you know, who knows? These things take a long, long time, and
yeah,
I'm sure I'll be notified well in advance for when that happens. But as of now, just, you know, all the different motions in court and this, that, the other. I'm not too into that part of it.
Well, I can imagine, yeah.
I'm not going to be showing up at court all that often.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's what we used to do when we had to go to court. We hope the cop didn't show. But that was for traffic stuff and stuff like that.
Yeah, so
I didn't shoot anybody.
So that traffic ticket would get, you know,
yeah, exactly.
Dismissed.
Yeah, he didn't show. Oh, good. Thank you, officer. All right, Collins, great talking to you.
Yeah,
come back and
you.
Tell us more stories.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Stay safe. Stay safe. God bless your dad. He got through it without... Did he ever get shot at? I'll bet he did. No?
I won't speak for him. I don't know for sure. But
okay.
I know he definitely didn't get shot. So. Yeah.
Well, now that he's working for the CTA, he'll probably get shot at every day.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, now that he's a bus driver.
Okay. All right, Colin Ryan, you're a good Irishman. Thank you so much for coming. Stay safe. We'll see you in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
And if you want to send us any, I'm interested in talking to some of your colleagues. We'd love to have them.
Yeah, I know a few guys that are in my age group that would definitely be.
That'd be great.
Yeah. Be worth a little chat with.
Yeah. Okay, pal. Thanks for being on the show.
Absolutely. Thank
you. God bless you. All right, we're gonna take a little break here on Hibernian Radio. I'll be right back after these messages from our friends.
There's no friend like an old friend. Southside cousins Mike and Dick Haggerty have been selling cars for over 45 years. They've been in business together since 1982, when they started their first store, where everybody in the old neighborhood bought their cars. I go way back with the Haggertys. Mike's a Mount Carmel alum and Dick is St. Ignatius. Dick and Mike have been particularly classy to me over the years. Whenever I visit their showroom, it's old school. Buick GMC at 9301 South Cicero, or the Volkswagen store at 89th and Cicero, both in Oak Lawn. So do yourself a favor. Get to know the Haggerty family. You'll be delighted you did. I'm currently driving a used car I bought at Haggerty's. It's a gem. And when I think I got lucky, I have to tell myself no. It's because Haggerty took good care of me. God bless him. Call him today at 708-423-5000, 708-423-5000, or go to HaggertyCars.com. Generations of Southside Irish have been happily driving Haggerty cars for generations. Visit Mike Haggerty Buick and GMC at 93rd and Cicero, and Mike Haggerty Volkswagen at 89th and Cicero. And tell them Hooley sent you. And if you're a first responder, you just might get a better deal than I did.
McCann's Irish Oatmeal. We've been warming the hearts, minds, and souls of the most discriminating oatmeal lovers for over 150 years. From the family farm to your table, enjoy the whole grain goodness of McCann's Irish Oatmeal today. Available at your local grocery store.
With a history going all the way back to 1896, the International Union of Operating Engineers has continued to protect workers and their families with loyalty and brotherhood. Local 150 has continued to thrive through economic booms and busts with careful training and aggressive organizing. Under the leadership of President and Business Manager Jim Sweeney, Local 150 has implemented programs and action plans to create work, protect benefits, and keep members working. And they've been helping the Irish-American community of Chicagoland for just as long. The Hibernian Radio Show is proud to be associated with Jim Sweeney and Local 150, and we salute the continuing efforts of the International Union of Operating Engineers and their support of Irish and Irish-American families now and in the future. Thanks to Local 150.
They say Irish women can be a strange blend of shyness, of pride and conceit, yet they have a stubborn refusal to bow in defeat. Their hate is as fierce as their devotion is grand, yet there is no middle ground on which they will stand. My family and friends tell me this sums me up exactly. I'm Carol Ann Gallagher. I am a proud Irish immigrant and now a partner at Dwyer & Coogan, a personal injury law firm here in Chicago. I was born and raised on a little island off the coast of Donegal. I studied and practiced law in Ireland before emigrating to Chicago 11 years ago, and I took up the practice of law here too. As a personal injury lawyer, I've been blessed to help those who find themselves in vulnerable and tragic circumstances. In my proud representation of families injured by the negligence of others, I've secured millions of dollars in verdicts and settlements for my clients. I can be your advocate. I can have your back. I will fight for you when you feel like you have no fight left within yourself. For more information, please go to my website at dwyercoogan.com or give me a call, Caroline Gallagher, at 312-543-4642. That's 312-543-4642. All of our consultations are free. Thanks for listening.
When a party gets rowdy, the Irish call it a hoolie. Yes, the Chicago Community Trust welcomes you back to the 5th annual Irish-American Movie Hoolie at the Gene Siskel Film Center. It's the only Irish-American film festival in the world, and you're invited. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, September 27th, 28th, and 29th at the Gene Siskel Film Center, 164 North State Street. This year's Trinity films are delightful. Misty Button, The Man Who Wanted to Fly, and Comer, A Galway Rhapsody. Funny? Yes. Thrilling? Yes. Terrific entertainment? Yes, indeed. And they're Irish. So come celebrate the pride, swagger, and legendary storytelling of Irish cinema at the 5th annual Irish-American Movie Hoolie. Go to moviehoolie.org for more info. Join me and a bevy of Irish hipsters for the weekend at the Irish-American Movie Hoolie. Paddy's Irish Whiskey is sponsoring the Hoolie, along with the Emerald Loop, Hilton Chicago, McCann's Irish Oatmeal, and Culture Ireland. Yes, culture was so classy. Yes, go meet each filmmaker each night and sample some of the complimentary Paddy's Irish Whiskey in the lobby. That's right. Complimentary Irish Whiskey every night. Yes! Don't miss the 5th annual Irish-American Movie Hoolie at the Siskel Film Center, 164 North State Street in Chicago, the classiest indie theater in America. MovieHoolie.org. See you at the movies, Hoolie.
And we're back on Hibernian Radio. What a great night tonight. Right on the river, Lizzie McNeil's. That was a great interview with our friend Colin Ryan. He'll be back to tell us more stories. There's so many things I want to tell you about that's coming up. One of the things I wanted to ask everybody, thank everybody who came out last Thursday night to the Cork and Kerry for our TV show taping of Our Irish Pub. Just a great night. And we did the radio show there with Billy Donnelly and Jeff Lang. But it was just a terrific night. God, I'll bet we had almost 200 people there. Would you say that, Sarka? Did we have 200 people, do you think? Do you think we had? I'd say at least. So it was just a terrific crowd, and we had Pauline Keneally and Katie Grennan and Amy Richter on the Bowron, and the kid, the dancer, Tyke Spillane, was just terrific. It was just a great show. Well, and the reason I'm segueing in on that is we got another one next Thursday. Thursday the 26th, our final segment for Our Irish Pub on Channel 11. Is going to be Thursday, September 26th at the Curra Irish Pub, 6705 North Northwest Highway, over in Edison Park, where there was a lot of caps there, I can tell you that. But we're encouraging you all to come out because it's free, and you get to see the show for free. You have to sign a release, but it's a cash bar, and it's a great atmosphere. And we're all, once again, Katie Grennan is our host. She's from the electrifying Irish band Gaelic Storm. And the show is all about visiting local Irish pubs, playing traditional Irish music with other musicians, and offering a brief history on each pub. Joining Katie Thursday night, September 26th at the Curra, will be John Williams, internationally regarded as one of the foremost players of Irish music today. With 5 All-Ireland titles to his credit, his reputation founding the groundbreaking group Solas, and additional talents on flute, button accordion, bowron, and piano, Williams has distinguished himself as a much sought-after multi-instrumentalist in the acoustic scene around the world today. Also on the show, the Ireland's own Emer Arkins, the darling girl from Clare. Also a multi-instrumentalist, singer, and dancer from Ruin in County Clare. She went to Ireland with us a couple years ago. She is an absolute darling. She holds 11 solo All-Ireland Flocule titles and has competed in All-Ireland European and World Dancing Championships. Emer has toured extensively all over the globe. I can't pronounce this, so I'm not even going to try. Also performing will be troubadour Peter Brady, one of our old friends from the show, from Kilkenny. And he came here with his brother and sister to Chicago in their 70s, their group Brogue. And he's been playing Irish music with friends and family ever since, establishing his legendary voice and telling stories in his music over the last 5 decades. So it's going to be a great lineup. Also, Dennis Cahill will be joining us, the great guitar player. So put that in your book, will you? We want to see you there. Thursday, September 26th at the Curra Irish Pub, 6705 North Northwest Highway. And from 7 to about 9 o'clock, it'll be the time of your life. Okay, now, Billy. You know, whenever I'm walking down Western Avenue and I look in the window, Ken's or Wrong's or Hart's or any of those great Irish saloons, I see the ghost of my old pal, Jimmy Goff, through the mist, and he says to me, "Hey, Holy, who died?" Thanks to PJ and his lovely wife Mary for our Obit Scouts. Elizabeth Philomena O'Hara from Aclare, County Sligo, Ireland, passed away at the age of 80, surrounded in love with her family on, well, last Wednesday. She was a longtime employee for Standard Oil. Betty is survived by several siblings, Annie, Patrick, Bridget, Etna, Rose, and Margaret. She was preceded in death by her parents, Peter and Anne O'Hara, and her other siblings, John, Kathleen, Sophia Flannery, and Peter O'Hara. God rest her soul, Elizabeth Philomena O'Hara from Sligo. Also, Larry Duffy, Lawrence Larry Duffy, a native of Ballyborough, County Cavan, Ireland. You know what's interesting? We're doing a film, and I can tell you about it later, but one of our films in this year's fifth annual Irish American Movie Hooli is about two geek brothers who live in Ballyborough. But Larry Nugent is a native of there. He's the husband of Anne, the loving father of Kevin, Vincent, Aaron, Liam, Laura, Eileen, Maureen, and the late baby Gerard. God rest his soul, Larry Duffy. And while we're on the Obits, and even though he's not Irish, that's okay, Officer Paul Escamilla, 40. He was a highly decorated 17-year veteran of the police force. He's known for his teamwork and his great sense of humor. I can tell that the city of Chicago is lesser for losing him. Chicago has one of the highest rates of officer suicides. Remember that. That's not a good thing. Escamilla is survived by his wife and three young children. And we're going to play a song for him that Van Morrison just released, I think, today. And we've got it. It's called In the Dark Night of the Soul. We're going to play that, and then we'll come back and tell you some more stories. So stick around.
Something is, don't stop the longing. Something new or something old. I'm on my way to understanding things that I might did not know. In the dark night of the soul, in the dark night of the soul, sitting here but on that planet. Well, it plans of mice and men have gone astray. Standing here on the landing, looking at a brand new day. In the dark night of the soul, in the dark night of the soul, in the dark night of the soul, in the dark night of the soul. Thank you.
There's only one Irish pub in the Chicago River, and that's Lizzie McNeil's at 400 North McClure Court. We spend a lot of time there, taping the Hibernian radio show at Lizzie McNeil's every Wednesday night. You can escape the hustle and bustle of Navy Pier and relax at Lizzie McNeil's. Our old pal John Wren is your host. Please say hello when you stop by for one of their ice-cold brews in an authentic Irish pub. One visit and you'll be calling it your hometown hangout. We've been hanging at Lizzie's for going on 10 years now, so join us. When the weather gets nice, they have two outdoor patio areas where you can take advantage of the sunshine and a cafe menu of salads, sandwiches, and appetizers. Lizzie's also has a great private party room that's perfect for birthdays, graduations, and most nights at Lizzie's you can meet the elite of Chicago's Irish-American community. So stop by Lizzie McNeil soon, right by the river, and tell them you were sent by your old pal, Hooley. Thanks.
The Chicagoland Sports Hall of Fame will host its 23rd annual induction ceremony on Wednesday, September 25th at Wintrust Arena. This year's Hall of Fame honors Harold Baines, Rick Sutcliffe, Mike McGee, Israel Adonijé, Brian Colby-Young, Desmond Howard, Lou Holtz, Jeff Joniak, Jim Phillips, and Patrick Kane. Proceeds support World Sport Chicago, the Chicago Sports Commission, Education for the Underprivileged, and other local charities. Get your tickets now at ChicagolandSportsHallOfFame.com.
McCann's Irish Oatmeal. We've been warming the hearts, minds, and souls of the most discriminating oatmeal lovers for over 150 years. From the family farm to your table, enjoy the whole grain goodness of McCann's Irish Oatmeal today, available at your local grocery store.
They say Irish women can be a strange blend of shyness, of pride and conceit, yet they have a stubborn refusal to bow in defeat. Their hate is as fierce as their devotion is grand, yet there is no middle ground on which they will stand. My family and friends tell me this sums me up exactly. I'm Caroline Gallagher. I am a proud Irish immigrant and now a partner at Dwyer & Coogan, a personal injury law firm here in Chicago. I was born and raised on a little island off the coast of Donegal. I studied and practiced law in Ireland before emigrating to Chicago 11 years ago, and I took up the practice of law here too. As a personal injury lawyer, I've been blessed to help those who find themselves in vulnerable and tragic circumstances. In my proud representation of families injured by the negligence of others, I've secured millions of dollars in verdicts and settlements for my clients. I can be your advocate. I can have your back. I will fight for you when you feel like you have no fight left within yourself. For more information, please go to my website at dwyercoogan.com or give me a call, Caroline Gallagher, at 312-543-4642. That's 312-543-4642. All of our consultations are free. Thanks for listening.
When your family has suffered a loss, there's one family I know who will be there for you. Robert J. Sheehy & Sons Funeral Homes are third generation, family owned and operated. The Sheehy family has dedicated their lives serving families throughout Chicago and the southwest suburbs. The Robert J. Sheehy & Sons Funeral Home was incorporated in 1913 as a storefront at 76th and Halsted in Chicago. At the time, this was one of the few standalone funeral homes of its kind and was to be the first of many to come bearing the Sheehy name. The founder, Roger Sheehy Sr., was soon joined in business by his three sons, Roger Jr., Jack, and Bob. This trademark of service is evident 98 years later, as Bob and Jim Sheehy, third generation, own and operate two locations in Orland Park and Burbank. At Sheehy's, the name on their sign outside the funeral home means something. For them, it's very important that everyone be treated as if they were family, friend, or neighbor, as they very well could be. When my brother Willie died a few years ago, the Sheehys took very good care of our family. And you know, you never forget something like that. Their entire staff cares about each and every family they serve. Every detail is handled in a professional and personal manner. On a daily basis, the directors Bill Kiley, Mike LaRocque, and John Sullivan, and the rest of the staff take great pride in their work, serving families as if they were their own. Bob Sheehy will tell you, we pride ourselves on offering the highest level of professionalism with every family we serve. Robert J. Sheehy & Sons Funeral Homes, here for you since 1913. There's no friend like an old friend. Southside Cousins Mike and Dick Haggerty have been selling cars for over 45 years. They've been in business together since 1982, when they started their first store, where everybody in the old neighborhood bought their cars. I go way back with the Haggertys. Mike's a Mount Carmel alum and Dick is St. Ignatius. Dick and Mike have been particularly classy to me over the years. Whenever I visit their showroom, it's old school. Buick GMC at 9301 South Cicero, or the Volkswagen store at 89th and Cicero, both in Oak Lawn. So do yourself a favor. Get to know the Haggerty family. You'll be delighted you did. I'm currently driving a used car I bought at Haggerty's. It's a gem. And when I think I got lucky, I have to tell myself, no, it's because Haggerty took good care of me. God bless him. Call him today at 708-423-5000, 708-423-5000, or go to HaggertyCars.com. Generations of Southside Irish have been happily driving Haggerty cars for generations. Visit Mike Haggerty Buick and GMC at 93rd and Cicero, and Mike Haggerty Volkswagen at 89th and Cicero. And tell them Hooley sent you. And if you're a first responder, you just might get a better deal than I did.
And we're back. Bulletin. We have a little correction we got to make. Well, I was doing the obit for Larry Duffy. I was told that I said Larry Nugent, who is an old and dear friend of ours and one of the greatest flute players in the world. So I'm sorry about that. Larry Nugent is not dead. But Larry Duffy, a native of Ballyborough County, Cavan, Ireland, is. So God rest his soul, Larry Duffy, and may God continue to bless the Nuge, Larry Nugent, in all his endeavors. And he was in our first episode of our Irish Pub. Okay. Now, if you were listening, we played a song there by Van Morrison in The Dark Night of the Soul, specifically for the officer, I got his name here. Officer Paul Escamilla, 40 years old. So that was for him. Kind of a heart. Thank you. Oh, you got to come down here on a. Actually, next week we're going to be here on a Tuesday night. But it's so delightful out here, is it not? Right by the river. Have a Guinness. Have a pint. Beautiful night. And we hope you can join us. So, everybody know, I already told you, the Cura. We're going to be at the Cura Thursday the 26th. Also, our friend, Bill Donnelly, who is a member of the Father Perez Knights of Columbus Council 1444 in Mount Greenwood. The organization does a lot of good charity work in the Chicagoland area, and they asked us to announce this. They're having friends and supporters along with other councils will kick off the 2019-2020 People with Intellectual Disabilities Drive September 20th to 22nd. That's this weekend with the annual Tootsie Roll Drive. Proceeds from the drive are distributed to religious and secular organizations like parish spread programs or special recreation programs for the kids. It's a great organization. Please be generous when you are solicited and tempted with a Tootsie Roll. We hope to have a very successful year. So if you want to help, if you want to help these guys, and it's Bill Donnelly and his buddy Brian Larkin, both police officers, you can help by calling Brian Larkin at 773-343-9841 or Detective Bill Donnelly at 773-914-2635. Help them out. They're doing good in the hood. And be on the lookout for volunteers on the street corners and give generously, please. Actually, I ran into one at St. O'd. Hey, let's keep it down over there for crying out loud. Well, I'll do the jokes. We're gonna. I'm coming out of St. O'Dillas, and there was a guy from the Knights of Columbus, and he gave me two Tootsie Rolls. So I gave him $2. Big spender, right? All right, now, don't forget our old pal, Tim Maher, the Chicago sports icon. He's had some health problems, so we're having a benefit for him. I'm not having it. Somebody's having it, his friends. I'm certainly a friend of his. A benefit is Sunday, October 6th, 2019, at Bourbon Street from 11:30 to 3:30 in Marionette Park, Bourbon Street, 3359 West 115th Street. $30 a ticket for all you can eat and drink of beer and wine. I can't beat that. And many of you know Tim from being on our show. He's talking about his books. 3 Yards in a Cloud of Dust, and We Are Chicago's Game, about 16-inch softball. He's a great guy, and he needs our help. So hope to see you all there. I'm going to go down there, say hello to Tim. He's running into some very rough times, so give him a hand. That's what the Irish community is all about, right? Now the biggie, the 5th Annual Irish American Movie Hooli is coming opening next weekend, September 27th, 28th, and 29th, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Presented by the Chicago Community Trust. I think we have some commercials for them that we'll be playing tonight. We got 3 terrific films this year. The first one is Misty Button, just a funny black comedy directed by a guy named Shawnee Shagrew from County Kerry, Tralee. And it's a story of a pair of Irish lads living in the Bronx. Very funny film and crazy, kind of a dark comedy. But that's the first film, and then after the film, you get to meet the filmmaker and many of the cast. But we're also all headed over to the Emerald Loop Bar and Grill, 216 North Wabash, for our opening night party with complimentary Irish whiskey from Paddy's Irish Whiskey. Yes, that's right. So that's Friday night. Then Saturday night, we have the Chicago premiere of The Man Who Wanted to Fly. It's a huge hit in Ireland. It's a feel-good comedy about the story of 83-year-old Bobby Coote, whose lifelong dream includes flying in his own airplane. And his brother Ernie says he'll never do it. Anyway, it's a funny, touching, and terrific film. That's 8 o'clock Saturday night, September 28th, at the Gene Siskel Film Center. The director, Frank Shouldas, will be there. So we're going to have a blast, and we hope you can all join us for that. And then we'll all head over to the Emerald Loop for some more Paddy's Irish Whiskey. Then Sunday, Cummer, a Galway Rhapsody. That's at 5 o'clock. Why is this? This is 5:30, it says here. Oh, well, check that when you go to the Siskel Film Center website to buy your tickets. It's all about Galway, the diverse glories of the city of Galway. But why does Galway attract musicians, artists, dancers, writers. It's all about it. It's a great artistic town. It's the 2020 European Capital of Culture. But romantics have reveled in the beauty and the just welcoming of Galway for artists. It's a terrific film. Hope you can join us for that. Every night at the Movie Hooli, in the lobby, we have complimentary Paddy's Irish Whiskey. So you don't want to miss that. So there you have it. I hope you're all there. We want to give a great thing for with the filmmakers all come in from Ireland. Just a terrific weekend. And thanks to the Hilton Hotel who puts them up. It's great stuff. Great crack. And hope you're all there. Okay. Now, you know, if you're going, drop in and see our friends Mike Courtney and his wife Dawn at the Twisted Shamrock Irish Pub, 6462 South Central Avenue. It's one of the best Irish pubs in the Midway area. And tell Mike and Dawn that Hooli said to say hi. They'll take good care of you. 6462 South Central Avenue, the Twisted Shamrock. Also, if you're headed over to Western Avenue tonight or anytime this weekend, stop in and say hello to our friends Mary and Bernard at Barney Callahan's Irish Pub, 10618 Southwestern. It's the perfect Southside Irish bar, and there's always something going on there. And tell them Hooli sent you. The Irish American News has been bringing you the news important to the Irish in Chicagoland for over 40 years. If you like mostly good news and information from all facets of the Irish community, check out the Irish American News. To advertise or subscribe, call our friend Cliff Carlson at 847-872-0700 or email him at cliff@irishamericannews.com. Now, we're heading in the home stretch for real? Okay. Well, maybe a couple of jokes. I got to be careful with these jokes because sometimes they get a little salty. You got to be careful when the jokes are a little salty. First, I got to find them. But I found one today that was kind of funny. Yeah, don't put any pressure on me. What the heck is that joke? Ah! Oh, that's not it. We don't have time for Hooli Town, do we? No? Okay. All right, and it's got to be here somewhere. It was a terrific joke. Wait, I'll be able to identify it by the big line I have written on it. Don't forget the Movie Hooli, September 27th, 20. Oh, next Tuesday night. We're recording the show here on a Tuesday instead of a Wednesday. I don't know where the hell that thing is. Don't forget Thursday night at the Curra Irish Pub. 67. I found it! Okay. All right. All right, knock off the music. A man went hunting when a gust of wind blew and the gun fell over and discharged, shooting him in the privates. Several hours later, he's lying in a hospital bed. He was approached by his doctor. Well, sir, I have some good news and some bad news. The good news is you're going to be okay. The damage was local to your groin. There were some very little internal damages, and we were able to remove all the buckshot. What's the bad news? Asked the hunter. Well, the bad news is that there was some pretty extensive buckshot damage done to your willy, which left quite a few holes in it. I'm going to have to refer you to my sister. God, the hunter said, well, that doesn't sound so bad. Is your sister a plastic surgeon? Not exactly. She's a flute player in the Boston Symphony Orchestra. Now you think that was pretty funny. Salty? Yes. Hey, you didn't even let me get to that, but that's good. That was the end of the joke. All right, are we out of time? Okay, don't forget, Thursday night, hope to see you all out at the Curra Irish Pub. And then next Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, please come to the Irish American Movie Hooli. You'll be glad you did. And next week, we have Aisling Neflaherty is our guest, and she is one of the producers of Comer, terrific film. And thanks so much, and thanks to Mr. Colin Ryan for being our guest. Stay safe, buddy. God bless you all. We'll see you next week. Thanks a million.